Second case for argument today is Appeal 06-3673, Boone County Utilities v. Brannan Corporation. Mr. Ivers.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Good morning. My name is Bill Ivers. I represent the appellant in this matter, Brannan Corporation. They were a claimant that filed numerous claims in a bankruptcy proceeding that was filed by Boone County Utilities. Appeal was taken after the bankruptcy court denied all of the claims that have been filed by Brannan. That appeal was taken to the U.S. District Court, and the District Court, in essence, affirmed everything that the bankruptcy court did. Give you a quick background of the case.
Well, and before you even do that, I just want to make sure I'm clear what you're seeking here. It's not just the success fee, which is what, around over $600,000. It's you're looking for the $7 million. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Even though it wasn't until the spring of 05 that you sort of changed your view that you were entitled to services rendered.
Correct. And it is our position, Your Honor, that with respect to claim number 16, really the only thing that changed with respect to that was the ad damnum clause. And this court has previously held that that type of a change to a claim would be allowed to relate back to when the original claim was filed.
But that's pretty significant, isn't it, since it's $7 million. No request for a stay, and that money has been distributed.
Yes, Your Honor. And I will get to that point in a minute, but in the In re Zenith case, it basically held that you do not have to have a stay in this situation because of the bankruptcy plan that called for payment of Brannan before the balance of the funds would be distributed to Boone County Utilities' parent company. So it is our position that, yes, the funds have been distributed to the parent company, but the bankruptcy court has the power, the district court has the power, this court has the power to order that parent company to return those funds because they shouldn't have been distributed in the first place. The funds should have remained until this appeal of the claims that were filed by Brannan Corporation had been fully resolved, and they weren't at the time that they distributed those funds. Now back to the base facts. It's obvious you've read the briefs. You understand what the facts are. In short, what we have here is Brannan Corporation rendered services on behalf of Newland pursuant to a contract that specifically benefited Boone County Utilities. Because of that benefit that was conferred, Brannan Corporation chose to go ahead and pursue its right to recover its right to proceeds from that benefit through the bankruptcy proceeding. Unfortunately, despite filing three timely formal claims, a timely informal claim, and an amended claim before the hearing was held on those claims, the bankruptcy court denied each and every one of those claims. And the reason that the bankruptcy court denied those claims was that improperly determined at the hearing that the claims were based upon a contract claim or theory as opposed to a constructive contract or unjust enrichment theory. That despite the fact that throughout the litigation, the bankruptcy judge, the attorney for the debtor, the attorney for the parent corporation, and the attorney for Brannan Corporation had all stated on the record that the claims that were being pursued were constructive contract claims. Now, at the hearing, the bankruptcy court tried to argue, well, you've attached to your proof of claim a copy of the contract with Newland. Boone County Utilities is not a signatory to that contract. You don't have a valid claim. Well, that goes far beyond what is required with respect to filing a proof of claim under the bankruptcy code. Nowhere under the bankruptcy code or in the official form that is used for proof of claims does it require you to identify a specific legal theory of recovery. All it requires you to do is tell us what you're owed and give us the basic facts of why you're owed. That was done in claims number 6, in claim number 9, in claim 12. It was further elaborated on in the informal proof of claim, which was the proposed complaint that was going to be filed in state court that the district court said, or that the bankruptcy judge said, I'm not going to allow you to pursue this claim in state court and affect how the the estate proceeds are going to be distributed. He said, if you want to pursue that, it's got to be here. So they did. Now, when it came time for the hearing, Branham Corporation decided that it needed to fully explain what its damages were going to be, what its proof of damages was going to be, and that is why it filed Claim 16, which, as Your Honor pointed out, changed the ad damnum clause from almost $650,000 to a little over $7
million. And has that $7 million been distributed to innocent third parties? Some of that money?
Innocent third parties.
Well,
no. The only funds that we are seeking returned to the estate are the funds that were distributed by Boone County Utilities to its parent company, Newland Resources. So, in answer to your question, absolutely not. It was not distributed to other third parties who weren't related to this relationship. Now, with respect to the proof of claims and whether or not they sufficiently alleged a constructive contract claim, as I pointed out, nowhere in the form, nowhere in the bankruptcy code does it say you have to assert a legal theory. In this situation, what Branham Corporation did was attach a copy of the Newland contract because that was evidence of the services that were being rendered to Boone County Utilities. It was not by attaching that contract establishing that it was pursuing a contract claim. It couldn't. The face of the contract did not include Boone County Utilities as a signator. Therefore, as a matter of law, on the face of the claim, the judge and all of the attorneys should have known this was not being pursued as a contract claim. You can't pursue a contract claim if the party hasn't signed off on it. So in this situation, despite the judge and all of the attorneys recognizing that it was a constructive contract claim, at the hearing when Branham Corporation was ready to present its evidence on the unjust enrichment / constructive contract theory, the judge basically said, I'm not going to allow you to put evidence in on that. You can put evidence in on a contract, but if I'm hearing you correctly, you don't have a contract claim. Is that correct, counsel? And counsel replied, absolutely. Counsel then preserved his record for appeal. Counsel for Boone County Utilities was then allowed to present evidence that, in fact, there was no contract between Boone County Utilities and Branham Corporation. That was obvious. They knew that at the time. And despite that fact, the bankruptcy court then goes ahead and denies the claim of Branham Corporation, and that brings us to where we are today. So the issues before this court, although I have identified four and Boone County's counsel has identified a fifth issue, they really boil down to, was a proper claim filed by Branham Corporation before the filing deadline date? And it was. Counsel will admit that claims 6, 9, and 12 were all filed before the filing deadline date, that the informal claim was filed before the deadline date, and the only one that was beyond the deadline date was the clarifying amendment to those formal claims that was filed the day before the hearing. Under the bankruptcy code, all of those claims should have been allowed. Branham Corporation should have been allowed to pursue its claim and present evidence with respect to the constructive contract claim. Both the bankruptcy court and the district court erred by not allowing Branham Corporation and its counsel to pursue and to present that evidence, and that's why we're here today.
But if we agree with your characterization that it was a constructive contract, in the state court complaint, the recovery sought was just the success fee and not for services rendered.
That's correct, Your Honor. At the time that bankruptcy counsel filed that claim, at the time that was presented to the district court, they improperly calculated how to calculate the damages. It was not until after that that bankruptcy counsel realized that there were other alternatives for calculating the unjust enrichment claim, that the unjust enrichment claim was not limited to just what the damages would have been under the contract with Newland Resources.
And this Claim 16 was filed 4 months after the claims bar date, correct?
Correct.
And so is there any limit to when such a claim can be filed? You know, if we allow you to prevail here, will there be any limit? This was 4 months after the claims bar date.
Yes, Your Honor, there will be limits.
Which are?
Those limits would be if they have changed the factual basis of the claim, then there would be a bar to having that relate back. In this situation, there was no change in the factual basis for the claim. The factual basis for the claim were Branham Corporation performed services for Newland that resulted in a benefit to Boone County Utilities. The only thing that changed was the dollar amount that they were seeking for those services.
Yeah, but it was a significant dollar amount.
Well,
from $600,000 to $7 million, and nobody knows that's your theory.
What if the monies here were distributed to 50 different creditors? How would you unscramble that egg after the...
In that situation, Your Honor, then we would have a much more difficult time. If you look at the In Re Zenith decision that I've referenced in my reply brief, in that case, they allowed for disgorgement of monies that had been distributed to two third parties, an accountant and an attorney. In this situation, we don't have that. We do not have distribution to 50 other people.
Be a different rule if the distribution has been made to one or two.
If it's done pursuant to the plan, then I would agree with counsel for Boone County Utilities that there would be basically equitable mootness, that forcing that money to come back in would unscramble the intent and purpose of the plan, and it would not be appropriate to do it at that stage. But in this situation, you do not have that. You have one entity getting the balance of the proceeds, which should have gone to the party that rendered the service that conferred a benefit on the debtor. That entity was the debtor's parent corporation.
So, and I understand that you don't have to ask for a stay, but here we have a company that didn't ask for a stay and files late, doesn't reveal the theory. It's like that conduct is being rewarded. Well, at least it's encouraging, perhaps, parties to proceed in that way.
I would agree, Your Honor, with respect to Claim 16. The appeal and what we're asking you to do is much harder. But with respect to Claims 6, 9, and 12, and claim number 12 was for $650,000, it is clear that the bankruptcy court and the district court erred in not allowing that claim to go forward on the constructive contract theory. I'll reserve the balance of my time to address the mootness issue after counsel for Boone County Utilities has the opportunity to talk. Thank you.
Mr. Bader.
Good morning. May it please the court. We're here today to ask that this court should affirm the decision of the bankruptcy court and the United States District Court. I was lead counsel for Boone County Utilities throughout the bankruptcy. Mr. Ivers was not, and as I listen to some of his argument and read his briefs, I wonder if we're talking about the same case and the same arguments that were raised in that case. Your Honor was correct about this case being equitably moot or possibly equitably moot. We did pay claims out of those monies. We did, as Mr. Ivers says, distribute the rest of the money as per the plan and the court's order to the principal of Boone County Utilities. Court has to keep in mind also that those monies are not just given to them and stuffed in their pockets. They had obligations in funding this utility that they have satisfied since this decision was rendered. So I think it was incumbent upon them to come in and ask for a stay and perhaps post a bond to cover those damages. We've repaid, or the principal has repaid, loans to other entities as a result of the court's decision and with no stay in place.
And that's part of the record, the fact that the principal then paid others with
that. That is correct. Judge Metz, the bankruptcy judge, from the beginning questioned why Branham did not just sue Newland in state court on the contract. In fact, they have done that, and the case is still pending. The answer was that they had a constructive or quasi-contract theory, not to bring in any number of theories of recovery, but in essence to be able to assess the success fee against the proceeds of the sale. The record is completely full of references and argument by counsel. There's no mention of unjust enrichment until the eve of the trial. They wanted more time to discover what the true purchase price was. We thought it was pretty simple. We received $3.8 million. Judge Metz could then take off the cost of the sale, apply the $3.1 million floor, multiply it by 8%, and arrive at the success fee. Who better? And he oversaw the sale. They contended that the purchase price was significantly higher. That's what the discovery was all about. We litigated this for several months. When they came into court and argued for relief from stay to go to state court, Judge Metz was very clear. If you have claims against this debtor, you need to bring them in this court. They filed three claims. They knew how to file claims. To attach a complaint to a pleading and say, we want to go to state court. We don't want to participate in this claims process. We want to be able to go to state court and argue these claims. Judge Metz said, no, you're not going to do that. We have exclusive jurisdiction over the claims process. Counsel was very familiar with the claims process. They filed three claims. Judge Metz admonished them on a number of occasions. They needed to bring their claims before the court, and if they had theories other than the contract theory, they needed to bring them. They chose not to do so. They were well aware of the bar date. There were three bar dates set. The dispute was always about the amount of the purchase price to plug it into the formula. They argued success fee, success fee, success fee. The record is complete. We went through a complete discovery process. It was only until right before the trial that they learned something that we knew right from the beginning. This company was not a success. It doesn't take a genius to figure out a company that's in bankruptcy being liquidated is not a success. They didn't file a claim either that they weren't paid for their time or their services. They were paid. This is a bonus or a success fee that they were entitled to. Judge Metz was finally fed up with it all. They filed a claim for $7 million, almost twice what the proceeds of the sale were. We'd already distributed money to creditors at that point in time in reliance on the bar date. And then let's get to the trial. They weren't there ready to present evidence on their unjust enrichment claim. They asked to continue it again so they could hire an expert to come in and tell us what the conferred benefit was. To me, that's a totally different claim. Judge Metz agreed, and so did Judge McKinney. If this court holds otherwise, I agree with Judge Williams. It renders a bar date meaningless. The money that we had in this case was very expensive. There were people that had to be repaid. We were escrowing over $800,000 to make sure we had enough money to pay the $600,000 claim if they won. When they get to trial, they could have put evidence on claim number 12. The court didn't keep them from doing that. Their counsel got up and said, we don't have a contract claim. We're not going to put evidence on claim number 12 because we don't have a contract claim. But if you look at claim number 12, they just didn't attach the contract to show why we're here. They have an exhibit attached to it. Here's the purchase price. Here's the deductions. Here's the multiplier. Here's our $648,000 claim. That's not an unjust enrichment claim. Neither Judge Metz nor Judge McKinney bought into the claim. There's no clear abuse of discretion here. They had every opportunity to litigate their claims, and they chose not to. They chose not to put any evidence on. They chose not to file formal proofs of claim. They didn't even cross-examine witnesses. All they did was make a record for appeal. This court shouldn't buy into it either. Thank you.
Briefly, Your Honor, he is correct. Judge Metz did ask the question, why didn't you bring this in state court? But then after that question was asked and they filed the motion for relief so that they could pursue the claim in state court, Judge Metz told them, no, I'm not going to allow you to do that. If you want to pursue this claim, you've got to do it in my court. That's why no state court claim was filed against Boone County Utilities. Judge Metz specifically prohibited them from going to state court. With respect to no reference to unjust enrichment, if you review the briefs, I have quoted extensively from the record in the various hearings and the conversations that were held by counsel and the court, and it is obvious that the parties were talking about a constructive contract claim, which under Indiana law is the same thing as an unjust enrichment claim. It clearly was not a written contract claim between Branham and Boone County Utilities because there was never a signed agreement between those two. The agreement was just presented as evidence of what services were rendered to, and what benefit was conferred upon Boone County Utilities. With respect to the $800,000, again, the money was distributed not to multiple creditors under the bankruptcy estate, but rather was distributed to the parent company of the debtor. It's no
but
different.
But you agree in the, there was evidence, though, that once they got the money, they distributed it to others.
Sure, and I'm sure that there was evidence in the In Re Zenith case that once the accountants and the attorneys received their funds, they used it to pay their bills, but it was still ordered to be returned to the estate. Same rule should apply in this situation. Again, Your Honor, it is clear that at least with respect to the first three claims, they were timely filed. There should have been allowed evidence on the constructive contract claim with respect to Claim 12 at a minimum. It is our opinion that with respect to Claim 16, it was a mere amendment of the ad damnum clauses, and yes, it was 10 times what had been noticed before, but under the rules of this court, that is allowed as an amendment that can relate back to the timely filed claim. Unless there are further questions, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, counsel. Both sides, the case will be taken under advisement.